Faith's vigor restored. Peter's redemption, our hope. Theme text. Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. John 21, verse 15. Imagine a moment so tender, so piercing, that it rewrites a man's soul. Consider Peter, once bold and brash, now a shadow of himself, his voice silenced by denial, his spirit crushed by bitter tears. The events of the previous few weeks have been a whirlwind of tragedy and miracle, leaving him suspended and fragile. Then, seeing Jesus risen and radiant, going out of his way to meet him by the Sea of Galilee. In this encounter, God's majesty unfolds, not in thunder or splendor, but in quiet, persistent love. The same God who redeemed Peter offers us renewal, calling us to sit before him and trust his transformative care. Peter's experience shows us the path of redemption between a fisherman's despair and an apostle's power, transforming a man who denied his Lord into a pillar of the early church. A familiar shore, a lingering doubt. After Jesus' resurrection, Peter returned to what he knew, fishing. John chapter 20, verse 6 through 7 tells us he ran to the empty tomb, yet doubt lingered. Mark 16:7 singles him out. Tell his disciples and Peter, a hint of the grace amid despair. Yet the internal reckoning of his failure in the high priest's court still weighs heavily upon him. By John chapter 21, he is back on the water with six others. He announces, I go a-fishing, John chapter 21, verse 3. This was not a recreational outing. It was a retreat to the familiar. When the spiritual path forward seems obscured by our own shortcomings, how often do we, too, retreat to the safety of our former lives? They cast their nets all night to no avail. The silence of the night and the emptiness of the nets must have felt like a judgment, a hollow echo of his own emptiness without his master. Then a voice calls from the shore, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find, verse 6. The catch is overwhelming, 153 fish, and John whispers the truth that changes everything. It is the Lord. Peter's reaction is immediate, prompting him to leap into the sea and swim to Jesus. This echoes Luke 5, verse 1 through 11, where a miraculous catch first drew Peter to follow. Now it rekindles hope. But as he drags himself onto the shore, dripping and breathless, he encounters a sight that surely stops him in his tracks. The charcoal fire, a sensory echo. There is a specific detail that bridges Peter's darkest night with this new morning. John chapter 21, verse 9 tells us, As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. The Greek word used here for fire of coals is anthracion. It appears in only one other place in the New Testament, John 18:18. There in the courtyard of the high priest, while Jesus was being interrogated, Peter stood and warmed himself by a fire of coals, anthracion. It was by that first charcoal fire that Peter, paralyzed by fear and self-preservation, uttered the words, I know not the man. Imagine the sensory rush that must have flooded Peter's heart. The smell of the smoke, the glow of the embers. It was a sensory echo of his darkest moment. The scent of burning charcoal was like the scent of his betrayal. Yet Jesus had recreated this setting not to shame Peter, but to heal him. In the courtyard, the fire was a place of denial. On the shore, the fire becomes a place of restoration. Jesus invites him, Come and dine. John 21, verse 12. He does not greet Peter with a rebuke. He greets him with breakfast. This suggests a profound truth for our own walk. The Lord often leads us back to the point of our failure, not to shame us, but to show us that His grace is present even there. He answers the memory of our weakness with a new memory of His provision. the unbroken net, a sign of maturity. Before the conversation of restoration begins, there is a miracle within the miracle that we often overlook. When the net was hauled ashore full of 153 great fish, the gospel writer notes a specific detail. "And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken." John 21, verse 11. This stands in stark contrast to Peter's first calling in Luke 5. In that earlier account, when the catch was great, their net broke. Luke 5, 6. At the beginning of his ministry, Peter's faith was genuine, but his capacity was fragile. He was unlearned and ignorant, Acts 4, 13. Full of zeal, but lacking the structural maturity to hold the weight of the work. Now, after 3 years of walking with Jesus, and even after the sifting of Satan that crushed his pride, something has changed. The net holds. This unbroken net is a prophetic picture of the work Peter is about to undertake. He is no longer just a fisherman. He is ready to be a shepherd of Jesus' sheep. The unbroken net signifies that Peter is now prepared to handle the great catch of the gospel age. In just a few weeks, at Pentecost, Peter will cast the net of the gospel and pull in 3,000 of the Lord's sheep in a single day. Unlike the nets of his youth, the vessel of his character will not break under the strain. The cracks of his self-reliance have been mended by grace. He is ready to hold the church together because he knows he cannot hold himself together without the Lord. The threefold question, love and grace. Around this new fire, Jesus turns to Peter with a question that cuts to his core. "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" John 21:15. This begins a dialogue rich with meaning, revealed through the Greek words for love, agapeo and philio. First question. "Lovest thou me more than these?" John 21:15. Jesus uses agapeo, meaning a selfless, unconditional love, the highest devotion rooted in will and sacrifice. Peter had once boasted, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Matthew 26:33. He had claimed a superior loyalty. Now Jesus probes that claim. "More than these" likely nods to the fish, the nets, or perhaps the other disciples. Does he still claim to love Jesus above all others? Peter replies, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee," in verse 15. Peter answers with filio, a warm, affectionate love of friendship, deep, but less absolute than agapeo. He is humbled. He no longer boasts of superiority. He offers only what he knows he can honestly give. Jesus' charge is, "Feed my lambs." The command is gentle. Arnia are young sheep, vulnerable and in need of care. Peter's first step back is small, fitting his fragile state. Second question. "Lovest thou me?" John 21:16. Again, Jesus asks, "Agapas me," pressing for that selfless agape love. The comparison, "more than these," drops away. Jesus focuses solely on Peter's heart toward him. Peter's reply, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee," in verse 16. Peter sticks with filio. He doesn't stretch to agape, perhaps sensing his limits after denying Jesus. Yet his sincerity shines. Jesus' charge is, "Feed my sheep," verse 16. The Greek shifts to poimene, meaning shepherd or tend, a broader task overseeing mature sheep or probata. Peter's role grows, reflecting trust despite his past. Third question. "Lovest thou me?" John 21:17. Now Jesus shifts to filio, meeting Peter where he stands. This isn't a downgrade. Jesus adapts, asking, "Do you even have this affectionate love for me?" It mirrors Peter's three denials, offering three chances to affirm love. Peter's reply, "Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee," in verse 17. Grieved that Jesus asks again, Peter repeats filio, appealing to Jesus' omniscience. His confidence is gone. He leans entirely on Jesus' knowledge of his heart. Jesus' charge is, feed my sheep, verse 17. The task is reaffirmed. Peter's purpose is set, his vigor restored. The beauty lies in God's care. Agapeo challenges Peter to aspire to divine love, but Jesus accepts his filio, building a bridge from where he is to where he will go. Redeeming the denial, accepting the cross. The restoration does not end with a job description. It ends with a prophecy that directly addresses the root of Peter's failure. In the courtyard, he was afraid of the chains, the judgment, and the cross. Now, Jesus looks him in the eye and tells him exactly where this path will lead. When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. John 21:18. John adds plainly, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God, in verse 19. The phrase, stretch out thy hands, is a common euphemism for crucifixion. Jesus is telling Peter, you will die for me. The very fate you ran from in the courtyard will eventually be your own. This is the ultimate test of his restoration. If the old Peter were still present, the one who rebuked Jesus for speaking of death in Matthew 16, he might have argued. He might have fled. But the Peter who has been broken and restored simply listens. He accepts the cross. He accepts that his life is no longer his own. Jesus follows this heavy prophecy with two simple words, follow me, John 21:19. It is the same call from the beginning, Matthew 4:19, now deepened by the understanding of the cost. Peter's silence here is his loudest profession of faith. He is ready to follow, even to his death. The final correction. What about him? Jesus provides one final lesson Peter must learn before he can step into his full spiritual stride. As they walk, Peter turns and sees the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, following them. Peter asks, Lord, and what shall this man do? John 21:21. Here, for a fleeting second, we see a spark of the old, untempered zeal and human concern. Throughout the Gospels, the disciples had argued about who was the greatest. Peter, having just received a heavy commission and a prophecy of martyrdom, perhaps looks at John with a mix of curiosity and compassion. If I am to be crucified, what about him? Will he have an easier path? It is a trap that many consecrated believers fall into, comparing our trials, our service, or our standing with that of others. Jesus' rebuke is swift but essential. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. John 21:22. This is the final correction. Jesus is teaching Peter that his walk with God is vertical, not horizontal. He cannot look sideways at John to determine his own faithfulness. He must keep his eyes fixed on the Master. John's journey will be different. He will live long, see visions on the Isle of Patmos, and die a natural death. Peter's journey will be one of action, leadership, and martyrdom. Both are necessary. Both are chosen. Peter takes this lesson to heart. In his near future ministry, we see him working side by side with John in Acts 3 and 4. There is no rivalry, only partnership. The man who asked, what about him? Becomes the man who writes, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. 1 Peter 4:10. He learned that every servant has a unique course to run. Purpose restored. From weeping to leading, from the charcoal fire of shame to the charcoal fire of redemption, from a breaking net to an unbroken net, Peter's journey is complete. The vigorous, headstrong fisherman has been dismantled by his denial and reassembled by the Master's hand. He has been given a new purpose, to feed the sheep, a new power, the unbroken net, a new courage, acceptance of death, and a new focus, following Christ without comparison. Peter's vigor returns, but it is a different kind of vigor. It is no longer the frantic energy of the flesh. It is the steady burning power of the Spirit. Acts 1:15 shows him standing up amid the disciples to guide them. At Pentecost, he stands before the very crowds he once feared, using the keys of the kingdom to unlock salvation for thousands. The man who once denied Christ became one of the pillars of the early church, not because he was flawless, but because he was forgiven. His denial became a testimony. We too can repent, weep, and rise. Our hope, marveling at God's direction. Sit before this scene. See Peter broken, yet beloved, and Jesus relentless in love. The Greek words agapeo and philia reveal a God who meets us in our weakness, lifts us in our honesty, and commissions us in our restoration. Marvel at this. God's master builder seeks a fisherman who once forsook him, asks, "Lovest thou me?" and then cooks him breakfast. He asks us too not to shame but to heal. Like Peter, we may falter. We may have memories of charcoal fires where we failed to stand for truth. We may look at others and ask, "What about them?" Yet Jesus accepts our honest love, shapes it, and calls us to feed his sheep. His dedication to Peter spanned denials, tears, and decades of ministry, culminating in a martyr's crown. That same care surrounds us, inviting us to trust, repent, and follow. Peter's path leads us forward, from fear to faith, from self-confidence to God-dependence, from a dark courtyard to the light of the shore, from the question, "What about him?" to the command, "Follow thou me." What failure weighs on you? Bring it to the shore. Hear Jesus ask, "Lovest thou me?" Answer as Peter did, honestly, humbly, and watch Jesus restore your vigor. For in his majesty we find not just a king, but a shepherd who never lets us go.